With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 276, a true milestone. Welcome to the show.
I mean, you guys blew it last time when you were talking about milestones and
milestones.
Well, those are smaller kidneys.
Maybe that's what he's been saying.
He just has a list.
Yeah,
I think you're the one who's going to start correcting me on my English.
He's trying to pass something.
Yeah, milestones.
He's like, it's a milestone.
It's not so bad. I don't need painkillers.
It's not like episode 300. It's episode 274. It's a milestone.
Makes a lot more sense.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was a long form joke.
It just means you need to drink more water.
Ugh, water.
See, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why. At some point, you're going to.
There's going like to be. I know.
You're going to be peeing out like a slab of granite. And you're going to be like, oh, Dan was right.
Oh, Dan.
Between the four of us, we almost have one daily balanced meal.
That's true.
And it's because of Dan.
Yeah, completely.
I was going to say, it's probably more between the three of you.
Well,
I don't think, unless my Fred Flintstone vitamin counts.
Well, you add that to Dan's probably 99.9% daily balanced meal. Yeah. And Joe's monster drinks and hot dogs or whatever.
I don't eat hot dogs. Yeah, I do. They're turkey dogs.
I only eat the Wilmas and the Bettys.
So I'm attaboy.
Wow.
You got to take out all the pebbles.
Yeah, those hurt.
Well, that's how you get milestones.
That's how you get milestones.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
I know where you're going and stop.
You don't want to end up on a list.
No.
Or a lisp. Either or.
No, really, I don't want to.
No, seriously. I remember the Dinos being kind of like, you know, the rare one.
You get the rare Dinos.
Oh, those are the Chase vitamins.
Or there were the variants. That stupid saber-toothed tiger of
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Does he have a name?
It's like,
nah. I don't.
Yeah, what was it, Barney and Betty's
pet.
Yeah. And it was like, right. Not him.
I'll tell you
like
what.
Nobody wanted that one.
DC is putting out a Flintstones comic book. Where they're like badass. No,
because Scooby-Doo
is different. But it's like social commentary about today going on in the Flintstones. It is stellar.
Really?
Yes. It's a 12-issue run. They're going to wrap it up next month. Mark Russell is writing it. It is amazing. I am shocked that it gets through editors. Because you're just like, how?
That's because they're so focused on the quality of their movies.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. But yeah, if you go pick it up, like, it's fantastic.
I think, honestly, all the writers and artists are like, they're really not paying attention to what we're doing. Go with it.
Yeah, just do it. Well, like, so they, you know, they rebooted it, how the new 52. They are slowly starting to.
Wait, but the new 52?
They went to new 52 and they went to Rebirth, where they're just like, look, we know we screwed that up. It's like Coke and New Coke. So they did New Coke and nobody liked it. So like, well, I'll just put it back.
They're like 6 issues away from 52 pickup.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, but now all of the characters are starting to slowly shift back to like pre-New 52. So they killed the New 52 Superman. And they're just like, no, this one over here, this other one, this is the real one. Bring him back.
Oh, dear.
Why weren't they all just in a snow globe?
Yeah. Who's the from... He wakes up. It was all a dream.
Oh, it was in Dallas.
It was Patrick Duffy. Wait, like,
yeah, it was in Dallas.
Dallas was a dream.
What was St. Elsewhere was the snow globe.
St. Elsewhere and Tommy Westfall.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like 90% of all television is in the imagination of Tommy Westfall.
Yeah. Just like the end of Men in Black, where he's shooting the aliens, like shooting marbles with all the different universes.
Yeah. So I never thought about that, but Tommy Westfall, I mean, there was a Cheers, St. Elsewhere crossover.
Right.
Which means he imagined Cheers, good God, which means he imagined Frasier,
which means...
And the Tortellis.
Did that last a season?
Nobody bats a thousand. Yeah. So there's actually a chart online that shows you every show that is within the imagination of Tommy Westfall.
Does that mean that, like...
And there's like
Richard Belzer is like his dad. That's why he keeps popping up.
There's like hundreds of television shows because St. Elsewhere would do this thing where they would make references to other shows as if they were real. So one of the orderlies on the show had been a character on The White Shadow.
Uh-huh.
And they had
the guy that played basketball, right?
Right. Yeah. With Ken Howard. And so this guy played. That they gave him the same name, and so he was technically playing the same person. So then in one episode, another actor who had been on The White Shadow who played a character named Salami, because he was the one, like the white
he's
guy
the
on the team.
Guy.
Yeah. But he's not playing that character. And there's like, and so people would always kind of wonder, like, is this orderly supposed to be the same guy? Because they were always a little vague about it.
Yeah.
He's in an elevator and the elevator doors open and the actor who plays Salami is standing there and he's like, hey, Salami. And he's like, wrong guy, dude. And he hits the button and closes the door on him. So it's like, it like confirms that he's supposed to be the guy from The White Shadow.
Right. Yeah.
And then there was, an episode where, Jack Ryan, who played Mr. Carlin on Newhart, played someone who was in their psych ward. And he went on and on about how, you know, he's always had troubles, but it really got bad when he started to see this psychologist mm-hmm. in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he's like, and his stutter just drove me crazy. And like, so clearly that's Bob Newhart. So now you got Bob Newhart.
But Bob Newhart was all a dream.
No,
the Newhart show
was a dream.
Yeah. There was a show before that.
Oh, no. The Bob Newhart show was a dream.
No. Newhart. Was a dream.
Okay.
Like and the Bob Newhart show the way they did the final episode is that Newhart was a dream that
in the Bob Newhart
in the Bob Newhart show.
But that was a dream. So it's a dream within a dream.
Right.
That's true. It's like Tommy Westfall.
It's like Inception.
Dream. Yeah.
But yeah, like it once you start getting into shows with spinoffs and crossovers and like it just spiders out. And yeah, there's this chart with like line and it prints out, I think, on like 11 by 17 paper. And like 10-point font, just full of shows.
I just watched like a video on YouTube that says like movies you didn't know were connected. So like Brain Dead from Peter Jackson is tied into Peter Jackson's King Kong. So you know the monkey or the is it a monkey or
King Kong?
No, in Brain Dead that they bring over
the big one?
Yeah, the giant one.
Do you remember that?
So in Brain Dead, which is his first like crazy zombie New Zealand flick.
That's a great movie if you haven't seen it.
That's before Dead Alive.
It's the same movie.
Oh, Dead Alive.
Yeah, yeah.
They just different names.
So they go to Skull Island. That's where they end up in the beginning of that movie. Mm-hmm. And they take a monkey and they not King Kong, a smaller monkey back. And that's what causes the outbreak. So in his King Kong, there's a box like a shipping container that says the exact name of with the thing that they're bringing back.
Mm-hmm.
And the Punisher is in Spider-Man 2. Like the scene where MJ is running through the park in her wedding dress.
Yeah.
If you look, there's a guy who stops in the park where if you know your Punisher lore is where his family is murdered.
Right.
There's a guy who stops, turns and like glares at MJ and it's Thomas Jane's stunt double from the Punisher. Now he is Frank Castle.
Yeah.
Like they,
that's Ray, such a
Raimi,
cool
Raimi said that we wanted Thomas Jane. We just couldn't get him because of the legal rights. So we just got a stunt double and dressed him exactly the same.
That's fun.
And put him in the park.
That's a really good
one. Yeah, there's all kinds of weird little connections.
So, yeah. Well, anyway, we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
Yeah. That's you.
We start with
this.
You.
Is Dan. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe?
Yes.
Are you cheating?
No.
What would you say if I told you we had an iTunes review?
I'm going to say yes.
You are correct.
All right.
This is from Zeus Deuce.
I love that. That's Zeus poop. That's what that means.
It says, a few guys hanging out, talking about movies, and often drifting into other things, as you just witnessed.
Yeah. We didn't even get to the movie. We just drifted.
I know. You don't say.
Tangents are often funny. Not always.
Not always.
But often.
Often.
I'll take often. Or interesting. I promised them I would write a review if they reviewed Power Rangers for me. So, while
nice.
I think they enjoyed the first two acts more than they will say, they did their part. Time for mine. So thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was very nice.
We did have that conversation with that listener.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we did.
Oh, did you?
We can't be bribed.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
He specifically
talked
asked.
About on the show, Kevin, about him saying,
if we do
how
Power
do you
Rangers,
edit this show? We talked about this on the show.
He just listens
you're
to my
so
track.
You're so autonomous that you're like...
He edits it from his own mind.
Yeah. It was like the week before Power Rangers. This is the week before we did Power Rangers.
I just didn't remember having the conversation for some reason.
He sent like a long message.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So thank you very much for that. So Joe?
No. We don't.
You don't want to double down?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were wrong.
Oh, wow. I'll take being wrong for that.
This one is from, I don't even know how to read this, JMH85JMH.
Like that. I think you read it just fine.
Yeah, that's great.
Congratulations on being literate.
I want to put vowels in there or something. I want to have a vowel movement. So his headline, incredibly enjoyable on every level. I'm a podcast junkie, and this podcast checks all the boxes. Funny, check. Informative, check. Not self-important, pretentious, or snobby, check, check. We get two checks
there. Ooh.
And check. He put a check after the
I'll
end.
Take it. Just the next one.
I'm starting to think he just has some sort of
Tourette's with
check-driven.
Check. Could be writing a check. Let's be nice.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe
that's true.
He was at a
that.
Restaurant.
And he was like, check.
And it's like he was doing
he's
speech.
He's dictating.
Speech to text. He's at a restaurant. And he was like.
He couldn't get his check. So he's just.
And check.
Yeah.
And
then,
oh,
damn it. Now I can't go back. And it says, oh, damn it.
Oh, he's
now
too
I can't
busy
go back.
To delete stuff. He's,
So he says, all in all, it's just an extremely enjoyable podcast made up of good-hearted people describing the weekly box office and movies that comprise it in brilliant, lighthearted detail.
Ooh, brilliant.
I am pretty sure that he thought of somebody.
Yeah. And he says,
somebody.
Thanks. He says, P.S.
Somebody picked the wrong podcast.
He
but
says,
thank you.
Yeah. Then he says, P.S. No advertisements for Nature Box, Blue Apron, or any other company we have all heard a million times.
Yet.
Which I will say, if they would give us money, we would do it.
Yeah.
But we're not. So I don't want to like really wear that as a badge of honor because we've had this conversation, I think, a long time ago.
We did.
But if we were given the opportunity to sell out,
oh, we'd sell out.
Oh, we would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well,
so,
based on your earlier diatribe about our overall healthy eating,
yeah,
right.
If Chris Hardwick,
I don't think Blue Apron.
If Chris Hardwick came
anywhere
to call and be like, "We're going to buy your podcast."
Yeah.
Yes, you are, Chris.
Yeah.
That's
well, you
where
could
do
do
I sign?
You could do the live spots for Blue Apron.
Well, here's my issue with Blue Apron is that. Because I know people who
never going to sponsor us now.
Can I do WrestleCrate?
No. Here's my. Because, I mean, if you know what they do is they basically save you the grocery shopping and they have like everything you need to make certain meals. The problem is you still got to make the damn meals,
right?
Yeah, so but they make it idiot proof, don't they?
Well, no, because you have to make it. So, like, here's a tomato, and here's some, they don't have it wrapped up
I
for
see.
You.
But it's in the right portions. Like, you don't have to buy, like, a bunch of stuff. And be like, I think I have one-third of this and two-thirds of,
If you work or have a child or both, and two of you, if you're in a family of two, and you both do that, it's not like you can come home and go, oh, good. And I've asked people
cooking.
Who have it, and they're all like, oh, yeah, it takes like an hour.
Like, oh, so it's the
what?
Same.
No.
The same
so
thing.
So we need a sponsorship by like Mama Coletti's or whatever, the
no.
bag meal
what
that you just
need,
microwave
what
and it's all
ready. What we need is the rehydrator from Back to the Future 2.
I will say
that's
that there is actually a local company that does. It basically has everything pre-portioned and frozen and you just put it in the oven and it's fantastic. Hmm. But it's
what's
all,
the name of the company, Dan?
It's called Time for Dinner.
There we go.
You know, since we, well, I mean, we're not getting paid.
Don't. We have a lot of
fantastic
non-local
company. You know, and what you do is like, if you want, you can go there and they and you assemble it and then you put it in these little foil things and you can put it in your freezer and then you just warm it up.
Oh, man. Now if is there a company that does something like that but then makes it taste like pizza?
or chicken fingers
or circus peanuts.
Oh my God. You know. Those are awful.
I love circus peanuts.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm sorry, because about every 5 years I'm like, all right, you know what, let's try them again. And I'm usually at the airport because that's one of the only places that still sell them, and I'm like, I eat like two and then I get in like half of the third one and I'm like, nah.
I always think
I cannot.
Weird.
Oh,
about,
I can't either.
The thing that I always think is weird about circus peanuts is that when
everything
when you go to the candy aisle, there's circus peanuts, and then there's the knockoff of circus peanuts, and it's like, oh, who is what? Like circus, like when there's a knockoff of
they're 69
M&Ms,
cents a pound. What are you worried about?
When there's a knockoff of M&M, I get that, but sure, a knockoff of circus peanuts,
the Walgreens brand with like the four circus that's, peanuts in the bag,
that's like knocking off a cough drop.
How many? You know? Yeah, like how many circus? I mean, it's not like it's a very popular candy.
Or no, knocking off right. candy corn.
And I think,
oh, yeah, that's the other weird one.
That's like, is there an official one?
Peanut knockoffs.
Oh, candy corn is disgusting.
Yeah.
Wait, all right, hold up. You okay? How could you like circus peanuts and not candy corn?
I don't know.
Because they're in the same foul school of, of vague flavors.
That,
anyway,
that's the candy that gets thrown back.
It's
at
the
Halloween.
Gross Halloween like, candy.
No, those are the Mary Janes.
That's true.
Mary Janes.
Root beer barrels.
Oh.
No,
I'll take a
root beer barrels
barrel
are good.
Over you mean, those Mary
you mean
Janes?
Like, you mean like the waxy ones or
no,
the gummies?
Just the, no, the hard candy.
Gummies. These are going higher up the food chain.
Hard candy root beer barrels.
Where are you getting root beer barrels?
They just taste like
Yeah, they're just like, I mean, just like,
what?
No. Yeah. Those are things.
And you put a
they
straw
like
on them. And
maybe they're just really stale.
Yeah, they're just really stale. That's all they
no,
are.
No. The Mary J's are those orange or black wraps.
Oh, those are awful.
Those are awful.
That's filler. Yeah. I mean, that's basically you get home, you're like, yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
And then you dump it out, and you're like, oh.
Those are the king of gross Halloween candy.
I didn't know they had a name.
Mary Jane's.
Yeah. I thought they were called black and orange wrapped things, like
filler. Yeah. Those things are so gross, you see them and you wish you had gone to the one asshole that always hands out toothbrushes.
Yeah. I need a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Or like the one house that would always, the one like Jesus freak house that would always hand out like the Christian comics.
So, I will tell you that there was a guy on my block that would give out comic book. Like he had like a long box. Go ahead, pick a comic. That's how I found out about Kiss.
He's like,
I swear.
Whoa.
He's like, he had a Kiss comic, and I was like, what is this?
He's like, he's like, that's how I discovered Cherry Pop-Tart.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but the pages were stuck together. He couldn't read it.
I would see page 1, page 7, page 12.
He's like,
there was a hole in page 14.
Oh, I'd rather talk about circus peanuts.
So real quick, don't forget, you can join our League of Show Sharers. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, share the show. You can also join the League of Show Sharers group on Facebook that we started. So lots of conversation and chatter going on over there. And you can also have your voice heard a little better within
join
the group.
In.
So join in. Send us a request. People that were kind enough to join the show share the show this week. Andrew Ortman, Librarian Cynthia, Julian Jordan, Chris Sanders, Jason Weesey, Brett Schulte, Lane LeVanway, Brent Smith, Timmy Tuzoons, Travis Tewitt, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, and Tom Kaminsky. So thank you very much for doing that. So it's a very, very light week for movies.
Yes.
So we have decided that we will tackle an old school movie.
Yeah.
That our friends at Podkist had asked us to cover, because they also, some of the guys at Podkist also do Zilch, and we had done the Monkees movie Head for the Zilch podcast
buddy.
A while back.
Oh, buddy.
So
I think I'd rather watch that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
I retrospectively have a whole new opinion of Head.
Yeah.
Well. Oh, yeah. I mean, Head was, there was... There was some
production.
Well, there was some intention behind it,
right?
Yes. You know, there was some thought, and they there was stuff.
Oh, there was some thought put into this.
They had stuff. I mean, they were trying to do something. This
right.
This is not that. This is
just a cash grab.
Which in hindsight, is it anything different than anything else that Gene
no,
Simmons
I thought the
has
same
ever
thing.
Associated with?
I was like, well, it's just it. Of course. Like,
I mean,
Gene Simmons
is cash grab. Now, it wasn't their cash grab, it was their manager's.
Can you think
Bill
of another band
cash grab
or act that has monetized themselves to the point that Kiss has
to that point
to everything that Kiss has done over the 40 years.
I think they're probably the most merchandised band ever.
As far just in sheer volume of crap,
I don't think the only guy that high to Beatlemania, I don't think it could touch this because there wasn't that much manufacturing.
I feel like the only thing that even comes close, I know I'm going to catch, is Hulk Hogan.
Like he's not a band though, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like I know
he does have an album now.
Yeah.
Thanks,
but I don't think
stand by my statement.
Did Kiss ever have a cartoon?
They were in comic books.
They were in a Scooby Doo cartoon, but they didn't have their own.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will say a band that I think has merchandised themselves almost to the degree that Kiss has, although they're definitely not as big of a band, is NSYNC Clown Posse.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah.
They are everywhere. They've put themselves.
I mean, they've had movies. They have their own wrestling.
Well, I would say
the
same thing then with the Misfits.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Glenn's and Danzig Misfits.
Both wrestling. Like, the Misfits showed up in WCW. So did Kiss.
He was in WWF, right?
No, ICP. Oh, no.
They were
in both.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did both.
I was in line in California for the Back to the Future ride one time, and I turned around, and there's these guys behind me, and they were just decked out in Misfits crap. Like,
was it the Misfits?
Skull caps, tattoos, jackets, socks, like everything. I was like, man, these guys are really into the Misfits. And I turned around again. I'm like, oh, it's the Misfits. And then I was kind of like, and they were behind me at Back to the Future. And I'm like, well, that's. And then I realized they were playing at Universal Amphitheater. But I was just kind of like, well, this is sad on so many levels.
Was Jerry only there?
You know, there's there's
not only could they not get in front of the line, there's a band playing at that amphitheater, but they were their own merchandise.
That's hilarious. Wow. There's always that rule in concerts where, like, you don't wear the t-shirt of the band you're going to see. That's just, like, really lame.
It's just desperate.
And so to be the band wearing a t-shirt
can you buy a t-shirt?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah,
that's
the whole point.
That's how you accumulate them. That's how you get them. Your Styx t-shirt to the Journey concert.
The Journey concert. But you don't wear a Styx concert t-shirt to the Styx concert.
One exception to that rule.
Which is?
I ran into this. I saw a guy wearing a Styx shirt at a Styx show.
But the concert tour shirt, you can wear those, right? I mean, if you bought it that day.
I guess if you bought it, you just throw it on because you don't carry it around all night. Yeah. This was different.
Okay.
He was wearing a shirt from the Man of Miracles tour, which was like...
I feel like that's a pretty sweet t-shirt, but it's also very rare.
Right. It's super rare. They're still playing a club. It's at this point, the shirt's like 35 or 40 years old, and I was like... You, sir, I will give a pass to because you are a window into history, so I will allow it.
But I've never seen a band play. Like, I'm not saying they were playing at that moment, but I've never seen a band play with, like, their logos all over their clothes. Like, that's just bizarre.
I hate it. It was weird. James Hetfield. If you look at James Hetfield's, so now he wears, like, just a leather vest, like a leather biking vest. He's got the Metallica star somewhere. On that,
yeah. Probably because he forgot Metallica. Or
I think it's just the star.
That's a little different.
But when you're like, you know, like to Dan's point, it's like Misfits. Like
it was logos everywhere. I was just like, but my first thought was like, man, these guys are into the Misfits.
I love the Misfits.
Wait, it is the Misfits.
Oh no,
I guess
wait,
so. People could...
can't they get like a VIP pass to ride Back to the Future?
Why are they behind me?
They're probably just raiding the merch booth because they're too lazy to do laundry.
Yeah, it could be true.
Oh, I puked on my shirt. Yeah, I'll give them.
So anyway, our movie of the week
is
Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Ooh, buddy. Have you guys ever seen a movie that you could just go and get Six Flags B-roll for like half of the movie and then just...
Not even just Six Flags B-roll.
Magic
they just
Mountain.
Did a concert.
That's Magic Mountain B-roll.
Now it's Six Flags Magic Mountain.
They just did a...
They bought them like a year after that.
It was like a concert film. Like, because they go on stage, it's like the same crowd.
It's like a concert film if your concert film didn't have a concert attached to it.
That's true.
So it was, what, October 28, 1978?
That's when it originally aired, I believe.
And I remember everybody. And I didn't have a lot of common ground with my classmates in grade school.
Shocking.
Because,
were you the weird dork?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were like, I mean, it was just like, constantly REO Speedwagon shoved down my throat, and they just didn't appreciate bands like Devo or the Sex Pistols. So
you had me at Sex Pistols, Devo, you know, not so much.
Oh yeah, I mean all of that though. I mean anything that kind of went against the grain. But Kiss, it was like, and AC/DC. Kiss, I was like, yeah.
What was that know? Like? So like what
it was
when
I mean,
they
it,
came out? I feel like it was.
I mean they had started with comic books and Halloween
they
costumes.
Started that way?
Yeah, they had the comic book was
I just
before.
Mean as the band itself?
Oh, the band? Well, I mean,
no, it was
okay,
a band
first of all,
the
they were
right,
like,
yeah.
You know, Knights in Satan's Service, which was, I mean, couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. I remember my aunt when I was, I mean, I was probably like 8 or 9, was trying to talk me out of liking Kiss because they were such a threat.
That always
to
works
children.
Well
yeah.
For kids.
Yeah.
No, don't listen to that.
They take
okay.
drugs. You know, and it's like, well, I mean, if you ever see anything like Paul Stanley or especially Gene Simmons, who's like a pretty famous teetotaler, is like,
yeah.
I mean, these guys, they are a couple old like carpet salesmen. They are not any threat to, you know,
right.
The only threat they were
found
is
a gimmick.
Like, you know, anything that, you know, could be transmitted. But
right. Like they, yeah. You could, if you got too close, you could get like airborne chlamydia
right.
from Gene Simmons.
But there was, I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, at that time, though, I mean,
he was breathing fire just as a way to sterilize his crotch.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, it's funny because you like you hear the music now. It's like even songs like Love Gun, which is
I love that song.
But you
I
know,
think I'm
how
not,
threatening is Love Gun?
He's singing about his penis.
I think that might be a metaphor.
It may be
one of the best lines in Role Models. I love that. Like yeah. He's like he's singing about his penis, and the kid's like. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
But this was at a different time in the 70s.
Oh, back then.
You weren't, I mean, nowadays people turn on, I mean, they have the internet, first
yeah,
of all,
right.
But you can turn on any local network TV and the stuff they say or the material,
yeah.
You know, so it came
but
from
they
a
were, I mean, they were shocking and yeah. They were, you know, kind of TV ready.
Where was rock and roll at that point?
Oh, well, remember, this is post-disco.
Right.
Or this is the end of disco.
Okay.
And
didn't Kiss do a disco album?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Dynasty. Yikes. I Was Made for Loving You, which I
isn't there a
would not
a different version
I would
of that
not
song,
acknowledge
it?
When it came out. And now I hear it now, it's like, that's actually not bad.
That's not a bad song.
But at the time I was like,
all right, it's not so bad.
I mean that actually hurt their career. I mean that hurt
did they
them
get,
bad
was that,
for that a long time.
Post taking off the makeup?
No, that's
no,
pre.
This is pre.
They did a disco album
yes.
In the makeup?
Kisco, yeah. We like to call it.
Holy
and I was not a member of the Kiss Army. I don't think I would have ever.
He was
made,
a member.
I would
of
not
the,
have been successful.
Dan was a member of the Kiss National Guard.
Yeah, yeah. I would not have been successful. I wanted
the Kiss Coast Guard.
They used to sell the big Kiss belt buckles.
Yeah.
I wanted one so bad, and I it wasn't an option. So I made my own. I took some Kiss cards.
That is fantastic.
And you know, I cut them out to size.
That's so great.
And then put like you know, packing tape over it so it was shiny and wouldn't fall off. And my mom, who's not a fan of Kiss at the time, who later on is like, oh, yeah, they were great when they opened for the Super Bowl. And it's because that's
Dan's just like, come
that's,
on!
That's how things have changed. But at the time, you know, she just begrudgingly appreciated the, you know, the kind
the
of the
scrapbooking mentality. You were
well,
a scrappy booking kid.
Yeah, you know, I you know, she appreciated like the assertiveness behind it, and she was like, well, okay.
I think the closest I ever did to something like that, it wasn't band related, but like I wanted to listen to the radio when I rode my bike.
Yeah.
So I devised a system where I would duct tape my bike to the handlebars.
You duct tape your bike to
I'm
the
sorry,
handlebars?
I'm sorry, I would duct tape my radio. I would duct tape my radio to the handlebars, like a little transistor radio.
Yeah, sure.
And just wrap it all up in tape, and then I would take an X-Acto knife and cut out around where the speaker was, and then I could listen to it. And then you had to change it out about once a month because the battery would die.
Sure.
So there was no easy way to get to the battery. So you'd have to unwrap it all and do it all.
Kids,
always,
you don't understand how good you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was always, I built our home theater, which was a gamble. I cut, you know, because I was like, I noticed that there was audio out on our VCR. And
I thought you were talking about your current home theater.
No, that was
you're talking about
at home.
Okay.
And I'm like, I think so. I cut some wires and I spliced them together and I plugged in the speakers and
sure,
I plugged that
ecstatic.
Into. Yeah, and there was an input on the stereo, and I was like, what is this for? And I think it was for phono,
right?
And sure. So I, you know, I actually plugged it in and I got sound coming out of the speakers.
You're like the guy in the RCA ad sitting in the chair where it's like his everything gets blown back.
Well, so I got sound coming out of speakers.
Sorry, yeah,
for the VCR instead of the TV speakers. And my mom's like, did you make that? I'm like, yeah. And so my dad came home and I was like, this is it.
This is going to go one of two ways.
Right. Yeah. And my dad was like, yes. And he went out and bought like new speakers and hung them up on the wall.
Good Lord.
Around us and spliced in two more speakers.
So you invented surround sound.
So yeah, my dad. Yeah.
Trademark real spoilers.
I don't think
Dolby didn't give me nothing.
So
in those days, I mean, you just kind of made do with what you could. But
we had a floor model that had, it was so burned out that it had a yellow or a red and a green thing in the corner. And you just hope it didn't bleed into the rest of the TV.
No. I mean, there, a lot of this stuff, you just kind of went with it. And like Kiss was one of those things where it's like, they had action figures. I never had. They had Halloween costumes. I never had.
They had comic books?
But they had comic books, which I got the second one, but not the first one.
Why do I feel like there was a Christmas where you opened, you got a Kiss record, and it was Dynasty?
I did not. No.
You're like, come on.
So, you know, like, for those who were raised Catholic, there's First Communion and Confirmation.
Yeah.
For one
baptism.
Of those... Yeah,
you don't really get anything for baptism.
Not baptism. I don't know. For one of those, though,
probably confirmation, because confirmation would have been like seventh or eighth grade.
Yeah,
first communion would have been like second grade,
and then your first confession's like first.
Well, how old would I have been in second grade?
What about a cotillion?
You'd like have eight,
been like seven or eight.
Okay, so whenever Kiss Alive 2 came out, I had asked for Kiss Alive 2, but I asked my grandmother.
Smooth.
And for one of those, you know, so you get all the like Catholic crap.
Yeah.
And then there's like the big double gatefold Kiss Alive 2, Gene Simmons spitting blood.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, whoa. And my grandmother's like, that's what he asked for.
Oh, that's amazing. Grandparents.
So I figured out a way to get my Kiss fixed.
I got a Peter
Venkman
figure.
It'd be great if like... Like it's the Gene and spitting blood for your first communion. You're like, you just had me go drink it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you're Catholic, which means you believe in transubstantiation.
Yeah,
so you believe that is literally the blood of Christ. So so you just had me drink blood,
and now,
but now you're upset about a photo. Maybe
of
it's because
spitting fake blood.
Do you think it's because he was Jewish?
And that's the other thing.
I meant Jesus.
I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus was Jewish. What are you talking about?
No. Yeah.
So this movie.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was just blown away. The first 20 minutes, I looked at the clock, and basically the entire first 20 minutes is B-roll of roller coasters.
Right.
I'm like, what? Well, nothing happening.
But don't forget the announcer. Don't miss
Kiss.
Kiss.
Who plays the bad guy? Is that a guy from
Anthony
Kiss?
Zerb.
Okay, so that's not... I was like...
He's an actual actor.
But I thought he was like Paul Stanley without makeup.
No, they weren't that clever. He was actually a real actor.
Oh, okay.
You can tell he's like really trying to.
He's
trying to squeeze blood from a stone
I thought it was really funny how they kept plugging Kiss within the park when it's like they're already here.
Yeah. You've already got them,
and they plugged it before he had the idea to have them there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
remember
say in the very beginning like Kiss is going to be here.
Oh,
I think he was just justifying.
Oh,
why.
Okay, because I'm like, I would like to know what the timeline is of this concert that keeps popping up in between the movie.
Well, they even say they're just like, oh, we've got a concert today, and then they've got another matinee, and I was like, how many?
But it's at nighttime every time, and there's three different flashbacks to the
concert.
They do say
a matinee, and then they go back to nighttime. And I was like, what is your definition of matinee?
They also say that they're playing in the arena, and they're clearly
outside, in a
parking lot.
Yeah, right.
Literally and clearly, yeah.
So this movie is, it's all set in an amusement park.
Magic Mountain.
Which is that what it is, Magic Mountain?
Which a year after this movie, it turned into a Six Flags. So, Tom, if that tells you anything, we know your love affair with Six Flags.
Oh, I love Six Flags.
But talk about, I mean,
Six
Flags in the 70s,
the opening effects really set the tone.
They do.
Because there's some quality special effects there.
I mean, the animatronics and...
Kiss walking on fountains.
They're on
and stuff.
The fountain. And Gene Simmons is a giant behind the roller coaster.
It was, I mean...
Back then, it was
for 1977, 78, 77...
But, That's the other thing. That's the first time you see them, and you don't see them again for 30 minutes. You see them in the intro, and then it's just roller coaster B-roll. Yeah. I'm like, where is Kiss?
They've all got powers?
Yeah.
Well, hold up now. Don't get into the powers.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry. Okay. We're not there.
So, no, I mean, they
slow your roller coaster.
Yeah. So this whole movie is based on the fact that the owner of the park is fired the guy who created the animatronics.
You know, I mean... You also have to think about, like, back then, what they consider.
I mean, they consider
the art animatronics is that they could lead forward and backward. Yeah.
But I have to say, if he invented those animatronics, those are the most human-like animatronics.
I was like, why fire that guy? Yeah. If he's invented these animatronics, you don't need Kiss in your park.
You've got Kiss.
He can just make Kiss.
Like, just sell these, just weaponize them sell them to the government.
Pizza. Yeah, Showbiz Pizza has the
this
same.
Guy, no, this guy has created the most human-like animatronics.
It's like Westworld.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only problem is they can turn their heads left and right.
And maybe the occasional arm move up and down.
Yeah. Like, and they spark when you touch them, so that's not
right. All Frankenstein can do is sit up.
Yeah. Sit up
and sit lay back down. Yeah.
So we've also... Like if you're going to take a universal monster and only give them the feature of sitting up and leaning back, Dracula?
The Mummy?
Dracula.
Dracula's a good one.
Dracula's the one you go with.
That's
and
fair.
What? Why is your Frankenstein morbidly obese?
I don't know.
It's like they hired Bobby Moynihan to play Frankenstein.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Dracula or a vampire in this
There's
movie?
There's a werewolf. Yeah, yeah.
That pops up from the coffin, though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
And ironically, they all are closer to the actual Universal... characters
than
we all love than another movie that actually is all about them. It's so weird.
That's because in 77 nobody was worried about getting sued in whatever year that came out. They're like, oh no, we can't do
that's her. True the lawsuit was not invented until 1979. That's a little piece of legal trivia from
Ta-da.
Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Holy cow.
So I did work in a courthouse for 12 years.
Up till then, they all just settled it through competitive ping pong.
So we hear that there's going to be a Kiss concert because they keep saying there's going to be a Kiss concert.
They constantly
not to miss
tell
a Kiss
us
concert.
There's a Kiss concert.
And then the managers, because I love the part where the manager's like talking to his lackeys and he's, the security guards, and he's like, well, now it could get out of hand. And the first thing you see is a bunch of kids making a pyramid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy.
When people get crazy, kids get rowdy, the first thing they do is stop where they are and stack on top of each other.
Yes. Like, look, man, I don't know what to do. Let's stack a pyramid.
Also, I'm not sure that I agree with their security procedures.
Joe, how did you feel about their security?
Because not good.
Because when we first see Kiss play and then they're like coming out or whatever, and then there's a bunch of people at the gate there, and then they're like, nope, no one comes through here, and they're like, oh, press only, and kids just run in with notepads. Like, wait a minute. So you check.
It's hilarious.
It was a lot easier to be a blogger back then.
They show like these, I say massive, but I say like shots of the crowd while Kiss is playing. And of course, they play Beth
later.
I think the first song is Shout It Out Loud.
Shout It Out Loud, Detroit Rock City, and something else.
But they cut back to I Stole Your Love.
Yeah, okay.
They do a fake version, right?
They do a fake version.
They have some
of Hotter
Than Hell.
Like three songs.
They actually did do a concert on the parking lot, for the people, I think.
This is how they filmed it. Yeah. It was 8,000 people were there.
So there's a scene where they're showing the crowd and then they cut to a baby in a stroller. And the baby's just like, yeah, this is great. And I was like, what? Who brings a baby to a Kiss concert?
It was the 70s, man.
That's exactly.
But wait, the baby said, oh, this is great?
No.
Like,
the baby's clapping.
The baby said, oh,
and I was
this
just
is
like,
great.
What? Yeah.
It's the
what
boss
is going
baby
on?
Baby Finster.
Baby. So we've also, we're introduced to, I think her name is Sarah.
And Melissa.
Whatever.
Oh, it's not Beth?
It's not Beth.
It's her name is Melissa. Apparently, this script was originally written for the Allman Brothers.
I was thinking her name was going to be Amy for the Perry League movie version.
Sure. Yeah, it went through several revisions.
Did, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She spells her name weird. That's the problem. Yeah. That's why they kicked it out. They said, no, spell it normal and we'll talk about it. And her fiance, I guess.
Yep.
Who?
A boyfriend, Sam.
Is it? So this is where I get lost. Is it?
Oh, this is the first 2 minutes.
I can follow everything else.
Well, right off the bat,
Sam
the first thing we see is them riding a roller coaster, which you know, he's got his arm around her. I'm like, who rides a roller coaster like that? Like they're the on most, a, like the they're most on chill. A date.
Yeah. Well, did you see how lame the roller coaster
well, yeah,
is?
It went upside down.
His arm. Yeah,
it went upside down.
Roller coasters went upside down in 1977? Yeah.
Yes.
It went upside
down. Don't you remember Gene Simmons standing by a giant roller coaster that's looping at the beginning of this movie?
I was actually, this, I'm not kidding. This was the most impressive part, was the camera attached to the front of this roller coaster.
Yeah,
it went upside down. It literally, I mean, they have a film camera on a roller coaster.
I will say the POV on the, I was like that B-roll I'll accept.
Best thing, yeah, because that's not even B-roll. That's like them actually filming. The rest of the stuff, you know, they were just like, hey, go shoot some roller coasters and get the promotional
videos. I could do that.
Yeah.
But
this was Zack Snyder's first directing job.
Somebody told Melissa and Sam like to go on a roller coaster date. So like right off the bat, they're like, he's got his arm around her, and then they're kissing awkwardly. And
he may as well have been at the movie theater.
Did they really mean like a date?
Have you not been on a date before, Sam?
Did you see? You know, in the special features, there's a waiter behind them that's taking their order and bringing them drinks. And
it's like, you know, on a roller coaster, you could forego some of the traditional. Yeah.
Correct. It's okay to not.
They
put
never
your arm
move
around
his arm. Arms around her, they're like, on loops, and his arms.
He's not unlike how the evening will end. It's a 2-minute ride,
right.
So
you're both going to leave disappointed.
You can put a little pause in there,
right?
And one of you might throw up,
maybe,
yeah,
depending on how fast it goes.
Yeah.
So is he a robot the entire time?
No.
Your confusion there is he's a bad actor the entire time.
Yes.
He's a proverbial robot.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, he's a real life robot.
No, from an existential standpoint, he's a robot.
So he works for Abner, the doctor.
Oh, okay. I was like, who's that?
The guy who invented baseball.
Yeah. Little baby Abner?
Yeah.
The real Sam disappears, and he's replaced with an animatronic version of Sam.
Because he works at Magic Mountain.
Correct.
It's like they're on a date, like on his break or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I got to go do
some. What an awful way to spend the break, by the way. Like, hey, man, I haven't eaten in 12 hours.
Let me go on some roller coaster.
Go on a roller coaster.
I was just thinking,
with my whiny girlfriend.
If you worked at a Six Flags,
you know, the last thing I want to do is
lunch break. I got to go to the coaster. I got a coaster date.
Oh man, I got to get on the Ninja before I get that line gets too long.
Like maybe they should have gone back on one of their days off,
and then they get off. He's like, well, got to go back to work. Like, wait a minute.
Couldn't
you spend your entire break on this roller coaster date? You haven't eaten.
No.
So you guys are both going to be hungry at this point.
Well, she can go back. She can eat whatever she wants.
She can, but his blood sugar is at risk.
Poor Sam.
But he's got to go on a little detective work, snooping around the old lab.
He's got to go to work where the...
He's free to do whatever he wants.
I'm not sure what he does.
They weren't sure either.
Like, he goes to work and somehow, like, he gets into the lab and... Like,
and then becomes
he walks into his own work, and the door opens, and then it shuts, and then he's like, ah!
Yeah, the screams
and
like, stuff.
What?
Like,
what? What happened?
This is like it's an hour and a half Scooby Doo episode.
Well,
without Scooby Doo,
this is what happens when Hanna-Barbera does live action.
So I
did this live action.
I would disagree. I believe Scooby Doo is being played by Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what is that?
There's a
what
whole story doing? Behind that.
Apparently,
too.
When they went to develop the script, like, he wouldn't talk to them and he would just make that noise. And so, originally, the script they gave him, that's all he did was make that noise. And and he threw a fit, and so they threw in some lines. So he did. But that's why he keeps doing that, is because he did that to them and they were like, okay, asshole.
Fine.
Yeah. Whoop. So,
Somebody got voice. There was some ADR. On somebody.
That was him.
No, Peter Criss.
Peter Criss.
Okay, so do you know who did that voice?
Yeah, like
somebody that...
It's the guy who was the voice of Peter Parker
in
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, like, I have a weird thing with voices, and I can usually pick them out. And I'm watching it, and I was like, man, why do I know that voice?
Wow.
So I have those on a DVD. I pop in the first episode of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and I was like, I knew it!
Yeah.
Like, it's the same guy.
Peter Criss's actual only voices around the
stupid
the
noise
Beth part
was in a song
when he's singing.
Yeah, because otherwise, like none of Peter Criss, that's none of that is his voice.
But do you think the two of the guys in the band were like, I'm not doing this stupid movie?
Okay, but it's the two guys who at this time, and this is right before they went and did the solo albums. There's a whole story about that. So. Paul and Gene, you know, first of all, Bill Alcoin was like their manager and was like, yeah, you know, I think the next step for us is doing a movie. And this is the movie that they were making. Paul and Gene were like, they've never you know, say what you will, but they've never,
they've never said no.
They've never said no. And they've never, you know, I mean, with them, it's like, if you want to, if you want your bank to get filled forever,
we gotta do something.
You should play kind of by the rules, because they even if, like, in later days, like Peter Chris and I
did
think
they ever
Ace
replace
got
anybody?
Lower scale than the other guys.
I'm sure.
They still, I mean, it was a steady gig.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally. Still is, I guess.
So at this point.
Not for them.
They were, you know, Ace and Peter were kind of, you know, they were also having substance issues. But, and Ace, there's a scene in this movie where he didn't show up. So they used an African-American stuntman and Ace Frehley makeup.
Oh,
so when you're watching it, you're like, well, that's really not. I mean, they're stuntmen in their makeup, but there's one is like, that's not even like
close
to him.
I will
like,
say
at all.
This movie had the distinct advantage of the actors all wear makeup.
Right.
So when they have clones and when they're doing stunts, it's like, wow. I mean, you could. I mean, it's like filming Power Rangers in outfits with masks.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know who's under there.
No.
Yeah. So that did work well.
Until one of them does a backflip.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that's not Gene Simmons.
Yeah. Time out.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
But
so yeah, so they
yeah, so Sam, you know, gets a something happens at his office.
He becomes
a
robot.
Yeah,
and
because
then,
that.
Well, to be fair, he's not a robot. He's mind controlled by a very complicated device.
Yes, it's a circuit.
It's a capacitor on your neck.
Is it a flux capacitor?
Yeah. No, it's
right
literally
there, and it sparks.
And it,
perfect.
Well, I was like, I was actually wondering how'd they do that effect, because it looked practical. It didn't look fake.
No.
How'd they get a little thing on his neck to actually create sparks without like.
It was 1978. I was trying to figure out how they found non-flammable clothing.
Yeah.
So the doctor has devised this plan that he is going to clone. Well, he's going to replace the real Kiss with these. He's going to destroy the concert
after he's fired.
Out of vengeance.
After he's been fired.
Yeah.
So he's going to let Kiss destroy the park, but it's going to be his robot. Kiss.
Oh, robot Kiss. Gene Simmons is tearing up that fake shack.
He does.
Yeah,
he goes right
chomp.
Through it. Stomp and chomp.
Well, the whole thing that really confused me is somebody who does concert promotion for a living. If you want to get a crowd to riot, you don't need to put on a fake version of the band. Just
don't
have
put on
the band show up.
That happened.
It's all you got to do.
Because where was the,
if you had 8,000 people in your parking lot to see Kiss in 1978 and you say, Kiss isn't showing up, no refunds.
Bloom!
I promise you, they will tear that place to the ground.
I had the same thought, because if they went on and they did something a little different, people would probably be like, cool, what are they doing? Like, they're not going to riot because the band themselves is changing words. They'd be like, what is this new version they're
well,
doing?
Well, I think
it was
supposed to be because they changed it to Rip and Destroy that the crowd has been inspired to rip and destroy.
Oh.
Yeah.
They were
inciting a riot.
I see.
Like
okay.
when, I'll put this in the words you can understand, like when Limp Bizkit did Break Stuff at Woodstock 2.
Is that what happened?
That's what really set the crowd off.
And they went crazy. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
What was was it Guns N' Roses and Metallica in Los Angeles? Was that the one where Hetfield got set on fire?
Yeah.
And then they stopped the concert and like Metallica came out and they're like, hey, look, he went to the hospital. We're really sorry. As soon as he's better, we'll come back and fix the show. And then Newstead said, he's like, we went back there. All Guns N' Roses had to do was go on stage.
Yeah.
And
they
would have been the heroes and the gods of rock and roll.
Yeah. But Axl sat back there and said, I'm not going.
Axl, because he didn't want to be outshone, was like, no. And then there was a massive riot because Guns N' Roses was like, nope, see ya.
Yeah, there was a time when that was kind of an ongoing thing.
Yeah, and then he jumped off stage and tried to clobber a guy in St. Louis.
Fun trivia fact. You know what Fred Durst is doing now?
He's a director, isn't he?
He makes Russian propaganda videos.
Wow.
I believe it's Russian. Yeah.
Fred Durst was like, oh man, West Borland's back in the band, and we're going to make the heaviest Limp Bizkit album ever. That was like 15 years ago.
I always took issue with Limp Bizkit for, well, every reason, but the biggest one was like West Borland, like, did anybody say, Wes, we're not that band. Like, you've confused us for a different band. But, like, they just let him be that guy.
I think that was
misplaced.
He's just that
in
guy.
In the band. And it was just like, it's like, one or the other. Like, be that
he
band.
You could either be the hardcore rap metal band.
But it was like, Wes Borland was always this guy.
Or you could go be in Mudvayne.
Like, he was like in a Kiss band.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't do that.
You know, Wes Borland showed up to a concert one day and Fred Durst was like, whatever, right, man.
So
we got to get on stage.
Wes Borland was in Kiss and Fred Durst was in Phantom of the Park.
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
There it is.
So. Yeah, so now the a version of the demon, Gene Simmons.
We should talk about the powers, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we've skipped over this. So Kiss has powers.
The first exposure to their powers is, when
they
Melissa
arrive.
Gets through the crack security after the concert.
Press only, please.
Bang up security job.
And she just, like, gets through.
The most honest crowd ever. We're not in press. We're in press. Okay, come on in.
And they're walking down the steps, posing for photos.
Uh-huh.
And,
she's looking for Sam.
She gets through, and she's like trying to get through. And then Gene like comes to her aid and says, "Star Child,
yeah, do your thing,"
with a gargoyle voice.
but he just makes like lion roars.
A lot of that. And then all of a sudden,
he's a demon.
Paul Stanley like shoots lasers out of his eyes.
And then
I think my favorite part of the entire movie is when they first arrive. And the one, I don't remember who has what, I didn't care enough, but the one guy shoots lasers out of his eyes.
That was Paul.
That's Paul.
And then the other guy walks down those lasers. Yes. And then, just in case that's not ridiculous enough, then that guy shoots lasers out of his eyes. Well, why don't you just shoot lasers and walk
shoot
down your own
lasers?
Walk down your own damn lasers.
He's a Silver Surfer of rock bands.
So the demon has fire breath.
But one is clairvoyant. Yeah. Is it?
So Paul.
That's Paul.
Paul can. Is
he says,
telepathic.
He says, yes, Sam's still
Sam's
here.
Sam's still
and
in the park.
And this threw me off.
Sam's still here.
Yeah, at this point, I didn't understand that they had superpowers. So I'm like, why would he know he's still there? Yeah. Like,
she's thinking of something, but it's not Kiss.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to blow your minds. There's somebody in this world who's not thinking about this guy.
In 1977, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true.
So
not Gene Simmons destroys, you know, he knocks over, and like one of the guards I recognize as like a bit actor.
He's a bit actor.
Yeah. The guy with the mustache.
Yes,
character actor.
I saw him.
He's
a character actor.
Like, I know that I've seen
him. He was
in
Silverado.
Yeah.
And I feel a bunch of other movies.
I feel like I saw him on like Sanford and
Probably.
Yeah,
probably always, one of those Every Which Way But Loose, Any Which Way You Can.
Yeah.
Like
one
he's
of those guys.
Character actor.
Hooper.
Yeah, so when this, and the funny thing is, so like my parents watched my sister and I watched this in my parents' room, and they watched it, like they
were on
they
surround
didn't
sound.
Want to watch it, but they watched it because of course the whole demonology
to run thing. Upstairs and
so they were watching it in the kitchen.
How
while
many TVs
my sister
did
and I,
you have?
We had two.
Oh, all right.
So
wow,
we're watching
bragger.
The other room.
1978.
Yeah. Nobody has two TVs.
Who's got money?
And so they're in the other room.
You're back to the future
and when
reference.
When fake robot Gene Simmons is smashing through, basically he's just knocking down a lean-to. It's not like he's really, like a hurricane or anything. My mom is in the other room going, "That's not real." And I'm sitting there and I look at my sister. And at this point, I think my sister was like six. And I look at her and she looks at me and I'm like, "I know." Like, what?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like, it's television. None of it's real.
We got it.
We're not watching the news.
I guess, because at that point, like the idol worship of Kiss was really high.
I have a feeling that like, there's probably a very clear line of demarcation of when parents were really nervous and afraid of Kiss, and it stops when this movie happens.
Yeah. Like, yes.
I think parents watched this movie and they were like,
yes, it does.
Oh that's what Kiss is.
There's nothing to fear here, right. As you were, children.
Continue.
Yes.
We need.
Yes, this movie was, in some ways, this movie was, and it's around the same time as the experience of watching the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I guess I felt like
you get so hyped up for this stuff.
Yeah.
And this was a big, big deal when they came out. And you get so hyped up, and then when you watch it, you're like, oh
no.
So what?
And even,
I guess I always
11 years old, I was like, this isn't good.
So you felt that way as a kid watching this. I was just wondering if kids at that time were so desperate for material and were like, Kiss, we're seeing.
Yes, you were.
But I mean, even after watching, if they were like, oh, I got to see Kiss. But
you were suffering.
I know what was great about how bad this movie was as a nerd growing up. You would finally get to see the burnouts is disappointed in something pop culture. Yes. As when we
it's about time.
How we felt when we watched like the Spider-Man movies or the Captain America.
Made
the TV movie. Yeah,
with like, Reb Brown.
Right. Yeah. It's like, now you know how we feel, burnout.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to breeze past how they get
cry into your denim jacket.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we should
acknowledge their powers.
I had a denim jacket.
I'm hungry.
And
we need to feed.
And the talisman.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the talisman.
Because even like when I watched this, I was like, and this took me 3 nights to watch it.
I said,
fell asleep.
This time?
Yes.
It took me 3 nights too.
I'm like, I was in bed and I'm
sat
like,
down. I would pick up. So I'm currently reading Batman the Cult because I haven't read it before. So I was.
That's a good reason.
I'm picking it up. And I'm first issue, I'm just like, I look at the TV and be like, I could probably just look down. I don't need to see this and just keep reading the book. Oh, okay. I should pay attention to that part. Okay. Fair enough.
No. If you just watch it, you will fall asleep. Oh. I mean, this is like, this
twice.
Is,
I did 2 nights in a row. I had to finish
this,
it.
Like, this is like a cure for insomnia.
Oh, it's.
I was like, all right, it's only an hour and 40 minutes. I can make it. Ugh. And then, like, the next night, I'm like, okay, I only got 40 minutes left. Yeah. I was like, I got 20 minutes left.
I couldn't believe it was an hour and 40 minutes. It kept getting to a part where I was like, oh, it's going to end. Oh, no, it's not.
Can you imagine with commercials? It was probably 2 hours.
They definitely drag this out.
Yeah. So
each one has a different symbol that powers
these.
Well,
we should say that the cops and the build, like, the owner of the thing.
When they show up?
This is the one part where, so... They're just like, oh, did you check the pool? Like, why
and
would
they
you
are.
Check the pool?
They're
sitting in like lifeguard
chairs. They're sitting in lifeguard chairs.
And their makeup.
And makeup and full cloak. And all I could think is, KISS takes sunscreen protection very seriously.
Yes, they do.
Nobody in KISS is getting skin cancer.
Nobody.
I'll tell you that
now. They might get, you know, their wiener might fall off. But.
And then when the cops show up, and the cop at one point actually says, I want you arrested. And I'm like, but you're the cop.
Yeah, they literally saw Gene Simmons, or the demon, crushing and destroying things, and they can't arrest him. Like, right. Why would you? Yeah. It's him, like, by visuals, and clones aren't a thing, so.
Now, you know, if it had been the black stuntman as Gene Simmons,
lock him up.
They'd have arrested him.
Lock him up.
That's how it was.
This movie's already over.
That was the worst detective work.
But the lifeguard chairs. Quite sure. It's like, why are they at the pool though?
That's what I was asking. They're not going to get in. They're in full makeup. Why are they at the pool?
And the fact that the one guy's
aren't
like,
other people at the pool.
No.
So they're not like they're watching the girls in bikinis.
I feel like it was supposed to be like a funny line where the guy's like, did you check the pool? He's like, well, of course I didn't check the pool. And they turn around. He's like, you should probably check the pool.
And there's four lifeguard chairs next to each other. How inefficient is that for a pool? Let's all get as far away from that side of the pool as
possible. Let's all have the same point of view of the pool.
Right.
And then when Gene walks in and it's like, and he's like stalking.
Well, he's doing his
Gene
Simmons
demon
Simmons
thing.
Walk.
And I'm like, you know that you don't have to sneak up on them. They're looking at you in broad daylight. Why are you sneaking up?
You're on 6 foot platform shoes.
Yeah, right.
And I like how this girl just has instant access to the band and can like hang out
all
with them
the time.
At any time.
So this is we jokingly said earlier, they missed an opportunity where they didn't name this character Beth.
Why would you not name her Beth?
And then they sing Beth.
Yeah,
to
by
the girl
pool.
About her struggles.
Because about her struggles. Like,
after a concert, because nothing a band likes to do after a show is to play more music.
Oh, they can't wait.
Just in front
of
nobody.
They can't wait to do an acoustic set of Beth
by
the
pool.
One they've been waiting to do all
night.
They're
just like, we need to shoehorn in a song that won't scare the parents.
Yes. And that was the other thing.
We need to sing about Beth where, you know, we're talking about leaving our pregnant wife behind at home so we can play in the band.
And when that came out, though, that was another one of those moments where, like, AM radio was
I'd never heard
on.
That song until it was on Glee.
Oh, no, it was...
Really?
AM radio caught on.
I don't listen to, like, the hits.
And that's huge hit.
Nobody believed... It was KISS.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, that's a nice song.
I like that
song.
The rock and roll hits.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
But you know what? I just have to mention
like an early power ballad.
It is, yeah. Yes. No, totally.
The way that they cloned KISS was that Sam, under his mind control, went at night and took pictures of them as they were posing and moving around from like 300
the
feet away.
Thing cracked me up.
I'm like,
get pictures of them from every angle, or go to the merch booth and buy a poster of the most photographed band of the present day.
Literally, but do you realize one?
Every angle.
Yeah, one. He was at one angle. He was up on a hill 300 feet away. Two, they were moving around and posing for the crowds, and then it was a close-up of their face standing
it's
still.
It's the original facial recognition software.
Yeah. And three, a camera at nighttime.
In 1978.
With people moving. Yeah. You can't get shots like that. There's no. It's not physically
and
possible.
And then you can clone people from those photos.
Well,
right. I think what it is that this screenplay was written by like an aborigine, and he thought cameras could steal your soul. So that would be the secret to cloning.
Boom. Got it.
This screenplay was probably written by a 7-year-old, to be honest.
A 7-year-old aborigine.
Oh, well, okay.
I stand by my statement.
Tag team.
So they also they have these talismen that grant them
think
power.
That are protected by a force field. A galactic force field.
I can't get through it.
All I could think when they open up the box and you see these talismen for the first time, and I don't know if it's just because I've been trying to lose weight, but all I could think is, these look delicious.
They do look like you could
see them at Mrs. Fields.
Yeah, yes. They look like Christmas cookies.
Well, yes, I agree.
This is what confused me about them, because they never eat them, but Gene's like, I'm hungry, I must feed, and they go to the talisman. I'm like, I thought that was their food. Like, what? The connection was just very
He's feeding
odd.
From the energy.
Oh, he was feeding from the
because
energy.
Because they're protected by intergalactic force,
cosmos
cosmic force field.
It'd be cool if they were like by Satan.
It'd be more effective.
Just own it.
If I could do the Gene Simmons voice, because apparently he's got a higher grade of cosmic power because
correct.
His voice is doing a thing.
But also it goes away when he sings.
Yes.
Like that's the other
thing. I noticed that too. Like you're singing and it's normal.
Well, you know, it's kind of like how like the Scorpions, when they sing, you can't hear the German accent.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
I think it's like that.
Yeah, but his way. But his main dialogue is tiger roars, like from the beginning of the MGM intro.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why does he make the tiger noises?
He's a demon.
Well, I get growling or something, but I'm like, clearly that is a tiger noise. I just like, what?
At some point, it's just kind of douchey. Like when they ask him something, he's just like, like what?
Or
just answer the question. Yeah.
And they're talking about the talisman, and they're like, because they know somebody. Sam makes an attempt to steal them. This is the first time.
Yeah.
This is the other thing that like this makes this movie even longer is that there's they repeat this scene twice because he's unsuccessful in his first attempt to steal the talisman. He just kind of gets shocked. And then he seems to be like, oh, hey, and he comes to, but then his flux capacitor kicks in again.
Use your gun to shoot it.
And they're
your
and
love
while
gun.
They're,
love
while they're,
gun.
While they're lip syncing an acoustic version of Beth, all of a sudden they falter a little bit, and Paul Stanley's playing guitar, and all of a sudden he's a... You
so
know,
he pulled a Marty McFly.
Talismans, starting...
Hey, boy, are you okay?
Futzed with. And they go in, and Gene says something like, well, because they're like, somebody tried to steal the talisman. And Gene's like,
that's
nobody deserves it more than I was like, wow, Gene Simmons,
so
you're really on
you're
a power
the,
trip with
the
talisman.
I don't know what's happening.
That might have been the most realistic scene in the movie.
Nobody deserves it more than us.
Have we gotten to the first fight scene yet? That has to be coming up.
That's right now.
The monster dance party.
Yeah, okay.
Monster dance party.
Yeah.
Was this with the monkeys?
What's that?
With the monkeys?
Oh, werewolf monkey.
Yeah,
the roller coaster,
albino monkey.
Yeah.
When they first showed the albino monkey, I was like, oh, Edgar Winter's in this movie too.
it's a cornucopia.
So at that point, they decide to investigate.
Yes.
Okay, because, nothing a band likes to do after a concert and after playing an acoustic gig and after hanging out with each other and not talking inside a giant, elaborately staged set is go on an investigation.
This is literally Scooby-Doo.
This is totally Scooby-Doo.
With
moment.
No Scooby-Doo
at the theme
characters
park.
At all. But this is
did
at
you say
the
they
theme
were,
park.
They were on Scooby-Doo?
They were. There was a Kiss
2 years ago.
Meets Scooby-Doo
animated
that's
right.
movie.
That's right. Okay. So, yeah.
In a theme park.
It was in a theme park.
It's totally an homage to this. They have the same powers and everything.
And it's funny because, Kiss, for the longest time, I mean, you... Kiss, you could not talk about this. They would not acknowledge this. They hated this movie. And I think they've begrudgingly accepted it. It's like it's part of their history.
Yeah.
And there is love for this because it does perfectly capture that moment of a lot of things, of theme parks. I mean, I get a gas just like looking at the rides. You're like, oh, I kind of miss a lot of those stupid rides.
And Magic Mountain is the has the most roller coasters of any park in the U.S.
I thought that was Cedar Point.
I don't. I did the research for some reason on this. They said it has 19 roller coasters, which is the
most
roller coasters of any
Cedar Point. Will beat them,
really.
And Sandusky. Oh my god.
Yeah.
They've got that. That's the 300-footer.
Not the like biggest one, but the mountain.
No, no. I mean, they have. Oh, okay. I think they have like 17.
I want to do that, the biggest drop or whatever that would be.
I think it's easier for them, just going back to, I think it's easier for them to like embrace this movie to some level now because, you know, in 78, 80, 85, like they're like, we're this crazy rock band.
Right.
Yeah. This is a, not only a kids movie, but a really bad kids movie.
Right.
And I think now they can look at it through the prism of, okay, but those kids did like it. They're 45 and 50
they're
years
gonna,
old
they're
now.
They're going to pay for this.
And now they're fans. And if that's what brought them on board the Kiss train, then, you know, their money spends
put
too.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they
still. So this fight, though. This terrible, the first big fight between the monkey creatures at the roller coaster.
Yeah.
The choreography of this fight. They're shooting laser beams. They're doing all this stuff. And then I would like to add at the very end, when they fought off with their brilliant fight skills, all these monkeys, mm-hmm. there's one left climbing up the roller coaster. Let's just blast the roller coaster supports with laser beams. Yeah. Like, do you think that
Star Child gets them?
Yeah.
Should we
I want to give the stuntman credit. For that was in the demon costume, because that dude was doing high kicks in those boots. Like, that's impressive. I don't care. Like, it could be awful. That's impressive to stay on 1 foot and not crack your ankle in half when you're trying to do something like that.
I was just worried about the people the next day riding that roller coaster that the supports were all shot out.
I mean, like, you know, security's like, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even worry about it.
Press.
Press.
It was the 70s.
This is a prequel to Final Destination.
That's why it's a tie-in.
That's right, yeah. So the next fight scene, they steal the talismans, and then they end up fighting the Universal Monsters, the robot versions of the Universal Monsters.
In the Chamber of Horrors?
Correct.
Now, did the Wolfman have nards in this one?
No, because they didn't try to kick him there. I mean, he probably did, but if they were smart, they'd have kicked him.
Oh, you think they went ahead and took that version, the one with nards?
Yeah. Okay. I think the Wolfman always has nards.
You know,
he doesn't just lose his balls when he becomes a werewolf.
And what bothered me about the Chamber of Horrors is that, it wasn't really a ride. It was just also like, I was like, if this is like one of their like e-ticket experiences, this is like a just complete disarray. It's like, do you just like walk around this thing and bump into
people? There's no path.
There's no like strategic, you know, flow of traffic. And there's no, I mean, it was just like, it's just a bunch of random things. And some of these things, it's like, is that really horrific?
Right.
You know, like,
wait a minute. Okay. Do you think the Wolfman loses his balls when he becomes the Wolfman?
No, I think he grows them.
Honestly, do you think a werewolf loses his nuts when he goes from man to
furrier?
I think the ones in this movie do. this Wolfman didn't have nards because it was a made-for-TV movie. You couldn't have.
They couldn't kick him in the nards.
I thought the Chamber of Horrors thing was weird. Like when they send the biker gang to the Chamber of Horrors.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, if you really want to have a Chamber of Horrors for this guy, this thing should have like gainful employment.
the child support collector guy.
Yeah, a drug test. Surprise. Pee in this cup. This is the worst Chamber of Horrors ever.
This is terrible. So they get captured, and then they put on the fake Kiss, and then the fake Kiss gets up there and does rip and destroy.
In the meantime, in between this story, they've gone and done like two other concerts though, just randomly.
Yeah, they did. They're playing their big songs. Is really what it is. And then somehow they use their special powers to break free of
the. Well, they use the force.
They tip over the
talisman.
They get their talismans back.
Right.
Well, by using the force to move the case.
Because Peter Criss is like.
So they don't have their powers.
Correct.
And then they use their powers to get back the items that allow them to have
their powers.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Well, it's just.
Are you keeping
up? I think at this point, this is maybe like residual power.
Gotcha. He's got a little bit left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that last.
Just last little about. He was down to the seeds and stems of his power.
Oh, I see what you're
I'm surprised
there.
They didn't have Gene just use his tongue to like whip the case and bring it
down. Now,
that still creeps me out.
I still say like by the end of this, I feel like when they're editing this movie, by the end, they're just like, you know what? Screw it. Because it was like all of a sudden, like there's tongue action like crazy.
Yeah. You know, the director's like, yeah, we got it.
Yeah,
it's on the tongue.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be out of here a month ago.
Well, and at this point, I think they also like Abner, the villain. I guess they like wrapped up.
Yeah,
on,
please explain the ending. Explain the ending of this movie.
He got fired.
He got fired, but he was still like pulling the strings.
Yeah, but
he was
like,
down in his lab the whole time.
He was down in his lab. 2 days to get out of here.
But he was down in his lab, and then he like left the lab, but we don't know where he went. because they're locked up. And it's like, well, so now what has happened is that he just... Did he go on lunch break?
Oh, but he comes back by the end of the movie.
Maybe he went on, his roller coaster date.
And his rotating desk.
Yes. Yeah.
I love the giant desk.
I love the first time we see the rotating desk. Like, we see him from behind, and then the desk rotates, like, but it rotates, like, three quarters of the way. And I was like, he really took the long way around.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't go the fast way.
Right. He could have gone, like,
could have gone one quarter and gotten to the same place, but he was all the way around.
Well, like, we built this thing. We're going
to
use it.
It's a rotating desk in a room that has no reason to rotate.
Right.
Like, it should just be his chair.
Like, because he's looking at are the screens on the rotating
mounted
desk.
Onto the rotating
which
desk.
You don't really need to rotate that to look at the same place that's in front of you. So why?
I think the screen, it had a glare.
That might be it. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know why this guy's budget needed to be cut. Do you see what he's spending his money on?
Rotating desks. Yeah.
They're like, we need attractions here. Like, you can't just spend it on your lab.
And super fast elevators.
Evil kiss.
Yeah. Super fast elevators.
And if you could make lifelike cyborgs in 1978, they would all look like Farrah Fawcett.
Every single one.
Every single one of them would look like Farrah Fawcett.
Maybe Cheryl Ladd.
Lack of, you know, Farrah Fawcett.
Who knows?
I think that would have been like in 1980.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
So they get out.
The gun a little
so
bit.
They get out from underground and they go through the park, but somehow they go up to space first and then they fly down.
In to
well,
save
they had,
the
they
day.
Had to pull a Superman and like get recharged.
I'm like, why did they come from space? They were just at the park and now they're.
They could have just walked out.
I mean,
they fly in.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen how crowded a park gets at closing time?
Oh, that's true.
You know?
So they fly in over the gates
to battle their robotic doppelgangers,
which they do.
Another fine fight scene.
Yeah, they
with their guitars like back and forth. Oh, just...
They should have had the stunt men in this scene be playing the real Kiss and not the doppelgangers. Yes. That way, Kiss would look tougher,
right?
Right. Like,
well, you could definitely tell which ones are stuntmen,
right? Because they're the ones that look like they shouldn't be losing the fight. Right.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That makes no sense, especially when you can't tell who's who with the makeup. Like, just have the stuntmen do cool fights.
You can tell which one's
you're like,
Ace.
Well,
you went tanning.
You're larger and. Shorter head.
Looks like David Blaine.
That's a
so then they beat their doppelgangers and then they go
go to the lab.
They go to the lab.
Yeah.
Well, they did finish the concert though.
Of course.
Naturally,
the show must go on
because you know each one of these shows gets $200,000.
Yeah. Right. What a crazy number.
$200,000.
$200,000 in 1977.
Each night.
Yeah.
And there's three nights.
Yeah.
That's $600,000.
That's a lot of money in 1977.
That is a ton of money.
And then they go.
Yeah. Then I'm trying to think.
They find Sam. And oh, no. He's been controlled. How are we going to.
Oh, yeah.
She goes
to make out with Sam. And Sam's like, nah.
That would make the average ticket price for that show $25.
In 1977.
In 1978.
No way. What would have been the average ticket price in 1978?
Probably like $6 or $7.
Yeah.
Oh, to be alive in 1978.
Right?
So we cut to Melissa and Kiss are all like gathered around. Oh, and the park manager. And she's yelling at Abner.
Yeah.
But it's weird the way it's filmed. It's like we don't see Abner.
No.
And
because Abner was done.
And there's no response. And then, like, I don't know, Paul says, it's no use. Or whatever he says. Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and go.
Some of these lines were just...
It's hard for Paul to not, like, riff. You know, like... And there's a fantastic thing on YouTube. And it's just, like, all of the chatter of Paul Stanley in concert minus... A Kiss concert.
Oh, really?
So it's just him like, you know what? You know what? Outside it might be cold as ice, but in here it's hotter than hell. Let's go. And... He's been doing that, you know, for 40 years.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because I guess everybody in the audience feels smart that they're guessing the Kiss song because he sets it up so perfectly that he's able to interact with the audience. But it's just like an hour and a half of him
that's
going,
hilarious.
You know what?
So
it's hard for him to just like, he's
gone. He's like, he walked away.
So they remove the mind control.
He's the new voice of Eeyore.
Yeah.
They
remove
the chip.
Off.
So like, yeah, this is somehow intricately connected to his brain to control him, but they're just like, oh, let's just take this chip off. Okay.
That's the worst thing that can happen. Stanley sees it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and then Abner.
Cut to Abner.
Yeah. This is like, please someone explain to me what happened.
I just want to interject. So I found an inflation calculator online.
Okay.
So $25 in 1978 would have been equivalent to a $90 concert.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like $100.
Man, you better, yeah. Well, I mean,
for a theme park concert.
Yeah.
No, yeah, totally. I'm just, I mean, like $90 for a concert.
Remember, this is Six Flags concert. You know, this is like not the big time.
It's like seeing Dishwalla at Six Flags.
So the bad guy is there, and this is like the end of a Scooby-Doo cartoon. You know, they spin him around in his chair.
Spin around, and his hair has grown.
He's aged, and he has long white hair, and he's frozen. Like,
yeah, it sounds
someone explain how that had anything to do with the story.
What don't you get?
Makes perfect sense to me.
Something.
I don't understand why this confuses you.
Everything that happened made him old with white hair and frozen.
Yeah.
Have you ever made a fake rock band at a theme park?
He has
and then used them to fight the real rock band.
Is that what happens?
It takes a toll. Yeah.
And the villain has literally turned into the look of the villain from every Scooby-Doo episode.
That's true. It totally has.
Looks like the old
man Carruthers.
Old man Carruthers.
Yeah. Old man Abner.
God, wait,
old inventor.
It's like when they revealed their monster, they put the mask on him.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no.
It's like, oh, my gosh. He's absolutely the one, which was always the one. In every Scooby-Doo episode, you're always like, well, yeah, it's the crabby old man.
It's Groundskeeper Willie.
I will
course.
Say, sometimes it was some rando where you're just like, what? That was the villain.
It was like a Law and Order episode where, like, you see the guy walk behind the camera.
Yeah.
Like, well, we saw him for 20 seconds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that's in.
Oh, and then they got to play a celebratory concert.
They got to play one more song.
One more.
Yeah.
One more.
Wasn't
time.
This the big one?
That
wasn't
was Detroit Rock City.
Yeah.
You would think you would play the real version of the song that the band robbed them of seeing.
You would think, but that didn't happen.
No.
I also wonder what the crowd was doing while all this other stuff was going on. we're going to go have the denouement of our story.
To be fair, sometimes you do have to wait a few hours for the band to come onto stage. So, true. I mean, they're like,
they're not Guns N' Roses.
That's true.
No.
So
there it is. There's Kiss Meets the Phantom.
No idea what I just watched.
I mean, I know exactly what I watched.
All I'm saying, and Dan and I, since we're the old ones here, like, you don't know how good you guys had it.
No, I totally get it.
I agree.
Yeah, this was one of the few times that, you know, and at this point, this was sort of like the pinnacle and maybe slight beginning of the downturn for Kiss. At that point, and you didn't see them on TV a lot.
They have the lowest rated segment on WCW Nitro ever.
Really?
Kiss?
Yes. So
was on Nitro?
Yes. So Eric Bischoff, in his infinite wisdom, decided he wanted to have he had entered a deal with Kiss, and they were going to have a Kiss wrestler. Now, he was dressed up like Gene Simmons, so he had and he was called the Demon, the Kiss Demon. And they were going to debut.
Was he called the Kiss Demon?
Yes.
They branded him?
Yes.
So this is when.
Okay.
This is probably 1990.
Okay, this is one of those brainstorm sessions where clearly Gene was heading to lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
call him the Demon.
The guys.
And I have to go to Qdoba.
Right, the Kiss Demon. Trademark Demon.
Right. So the guy's real name is Dale Torborg. He is, I think he now was like the strength and conditioning coach for the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
So they were going to debut him on Nitro, and they were also going to do a Kiss concert. I watched it live because that's what you did on Monday night. You flipped from WWF. And then you just stayed on WWF for
Wars.
A while. Yeah. But it was the worst lip sync.
Yeah.
Like, it was terrible. And then, of course, Dale Torborg can't wrestle for anything. So they,
of course,
he'd it was a cool entrance. Like, he did the whole coffin thing. It sat up, it opened, he spit blood. Mm-hmm. And then he got to the ring. It was like, oh, you're awful. But yes, the lowest rated segment on WCW Monday Nitro ever.
You know who has the lowest rated segment in the history of Behind the Music?
No.
Bad Company.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There wasn't really a lot of.
I don't think they ever re-aired it because
it was just so boring.
It was kind of boring.
It was super boring.
Hey, we wanted to be in a band, and then we were in a band, and then we had a bunch of hits, and then we kind of decided we're not going to be in a band anymore.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, we came back and decided we'd be in a band again.
Didn't somebody use heroin?
No.
No, not really.
No, I remember watching it.
Drinking problems?
Like,
no.
What about women? What about women? Oh, remember that one girl, Shelly?
Yeah, I married her.
Oh, she was great. I married her, and we have three kids, and everything's good.
But you cheated. But you cheated on her.
No, it was.
There was nothing behind that music.
Wow.
I had a. Had a cancer scare.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just a little patch of dry skin, though. You know?
Turned out it was fine.
Yeah, everything's cool, though.
No, we're good. Had it taken off.
We're good.
I'm good to go.
Yeah. Did you write a song about it?
Nope.
Sure didn't. No?
No, he did. It was all right now.
Yeah. That was free, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
There you go. There's Kiss.
That's it for this episode. So, yeah. I guess go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and at ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or at our League of Show Sharers Facebook group. You can also follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers or find our website realspoilers.com. there, that's plenty of stuff. Also, don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this episode. Coming up next episode, it will be the return of deep fried tacos.
We know you've been waiting.
Everybody loves them. So until then, you've been warned.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.